Translation. My dear Lord Nrisingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they're interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or forests to meditate with vows of silence, Mounavrat. They're not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these fools and rascals, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of the lotus feet, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to your shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problem, even if he stays in the material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Navaijo para durayatya vaitaryana. O best of the great personalities, I'm not afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati. Svarga avarga narakeshu apitulyart darshana. A devotee is solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planet and being in the hellish planet are equal, for a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotees is understood by the Kamis and Jnanis. Kamis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and Jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forests. Rather, his interest is in the busiest parts of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that he may show that he has become very advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activities. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he's interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam tad asya sharanam brahmato nupasye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe, life after life. But by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue of Krishna consciousness and then get the clue of Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return back home, back to Godhead. This is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna conscious movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or forests, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, mediators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Om Jnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So this verse is something to meditate on upon the month of December for our book distribution marathon, the Prabhupada marathon. Prabhupada would often say that to bring people to Krishna consciousness is difficult. To keep people in Krishna consciousness is more difficult. And to keep people in Krishna consciousness, but keep them inspired, is the most difficult. So the society is about all of these three things. But the month of December is all about the first part. You know, we have many aspects, the mentorship system, inspirational talks, so many people that will come. So all of these three points are being covered, but specifically in this month, it's the first part, which is to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, this is difficult. This is a difficult aspect. If we look at the history of the Prabhupada Marathon, which was changed, it was originally called the Christmas Marathon. And the GBC, in due course, they changed it to the Prabhupada Book Distribution Marathon. So that was the history of that, was that it began in 1972 by mistake, really. When the devotees were noticing that on the 22nd of December, the shops in Los Angeles were staying open till midnight. And there were crowds still till midnight, rushing to buy many things. So they thought, this is Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Go Nithai, Srila Prabhupada ki. So they thought, well, why don't we give out spiritual gifts? Because the shops and the streets are busy all the way till midnight. So in 1972, they were distributing specifically back to Godheads at that time. So one devotee, Rameshwar Das, he thought, okay, I normally distribute 50 back to Godheads, so today I want to really stay out a little later. So he stayed out all the way till 10 o'clock in the L.A. temple. And he had done 650 back to Godhead magazines. And he was so excited that he thought, this is it, I'm going to be the top today. No one's going to beat this. And he returned back to the temple. And when he entered, he was a bit worried because there was no one at the temple. Because without telling each other, every individual had done the same thing. They'd all realized that the shops are open till late. Why don't we stay out till late? So he thought he'd won and he was the last person coming in, but all the rest came back at midnight. So accidentally, unknowingly, this started off the Christmas marathon, and the book distribution scores were tremendous. The marathon lasted only 3 days, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. It was 3 days. Now it's the whole month. Well, it's less than a month. We finish on the 24th as such. And the first marathon in 72, the devotees had sold 6,000 books in that month. And when Prabhupada heard news of this, he was very delighted and he wrote to Rameshwar about this. And this is the famous quote that Prabhupada gives. He said, by this effort alone, all the book distributors are assured to go back home, back to Godhead. So this letter was amazing because this statement meant that everyone became very excited by this effort alone. You can go back home, back to God. So next year, in 1973, there was a huge pool of devotees going out. because they all realize this is amazing. Prabhupada said, just by this effort, we can go back home, back to Godhead. So hence, in 73, over 4 million books were distributed by that one letter of Prabhupada. Everyone became very excited that this is something very amazing. And Sankirtan devotees and heroes came up, 74, I remember. Mother Guru Chanapan was one of those individuals. We remember all of these names that came up. Tripurari, very, very famous. Pragosh, not from Ireland, the other Pragosh. Lavangalatika and Vaisheshika. They became famous names who would travel and come to the manor. They were big book distributors. And they had amazing ways of distributing books. At least Vaisheshika used to use the verses of the Shikshastakam at the airports. And he would say, well, how are you doing, sir? And then he approached them at the airport and he would say, all glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan movement, the prime benediction for humanity at large, which cleanses the heart. And he sold hundreds of books every day just by this statement to every individual that he would use. Prabhupada, upon seeing this great aspect of book distribution, he also wasn't impressed, however, when he learned that some book distributors were using deceptive tactics as well. And he wrote to everyone. They were so enthusiastic, people were using all sorts of means. He said, it is not advisable to make lies just to sell books. And he wrote that to all the ISKCON leaders at that time. If we simply stick to describing how wonderful Krishna is, that will not be a lie. There is sufficient merit in our books that if we simply describe them sincerely to anyone, they will buy. So Prabhupada wrote that a long time ago. He mentions so the beginning of our marathon is here now. So I thought I'd just talk about that, how it all started off. And I don't know how many books to date we've distributed. I remember one figure a few years ago, 470 million at that time. What would they be now? More than that. That was about a few years ago. 470 million books have been distributed. That's more than Stephen King, who's one of the biggest authors, his books. At that time, it was bigger than Harry Potter. I don't know where it is now, but it was bigger than Harry Potter had sold. 470 million books. And, you know, Stephen King also, he wrote it. He was very elderly as well, and he started at that time writing. So Prabhupada's books had overridden him very much. In the purport here, Prabhupada is very much speaking about becoming convinced that you cannot become happy unless you become Krishna conscious. And when you are convinced about this, then you become convinced to give this to others. He seems to emphasize it very much in that purport. And that's an interesting principle. There was a famous king. He wrote many verses on this principle. A historical king in India. His name was Bhartrihari. And King Bhartrihari, he was very enamored by his queen, very beautiful lady. And he wouldn't do much of his work in the kingdom, he was enamored by the queen. So upon seeing her, he was a great poet as well. Immediately he composed 100 verses in praise of the beauty of his wife. And they're very famous verses, they're called Sringara Sataka. 100 verses in praise of the beauty of his wife. So his point was that I became so happy simply by the beauty of my wife. But then one sage came to the kingdom and he brought one ring. And he said, my dear king, this ring is very auspicious. Whoever wears it will become very fortunate. So please give this ring to whoever you love the most. So the king gave this ring to his wife, the queen. But a month later, the courtesan girl who was fanning the king every day, she brought the ring and she said, "My dear king, I want to present you with this ring." So, what happened? What happened? This is a true story in the history. So he, when he realized what had happened, he was a very clever man, he became immediately, he said, "What is this happiness in this world? I thought I was so happy." He composed 100 verses, again, of how you cannot be happy in this world. You cannot be happy. What had happened is, he had given this ring to the person he loved the most, the queen. But the queen actually didn't love him. She loved the general of the army. It's out of a movie, isn't it? And so she said, "I don't want to be the most fortunate. I want to give it to the person I love the most." So she gave it to the general of the army. Now the general of the army didn't love the queen either. He loved the courtesan girl who was fanning the king every day. So she went and he gave the ring to her. And she didn't love the commander-in-chief of the army, because she was enamored by fanning the king every day, and she loved him tremendously. So the king, upon realizing all of this amazing equation, he wrote 100 verses of how you cannot be happy in this world. Isn't it George Harrison? And speaking of the marathon, I think the marathon in 73 took off tremendously because of the Krishna book. Because George Harrison had written his foreword, "All You Need Is Love," he writes, isn't it? Hari Bol, "All You Need Is Love." So it's love of God, as this purport is really speaking about. That's what you really need. That's the essence of... So in the purport here, Prabhupada is speaking about the same thing, that, you know, really, in essence, materially trying to become happy is not an easy thing. You may get glimpses of it, but to be content... Hridayananda Maharaj speaks of this, doesn't he? He says, trying to become happy in this world is, as the Bhagavatam also says, adanta gobir vishatam tamishram punash puna charvita chana, chewing the chewed. And a great example of that is used bubble gum. There are vegetarian bubble gums that you may be chewing. Now imagine when you've got all the juice out of it, you throw it away, someone comes along and says, "That probably got something left in it." The sugarcane example is the Vedic one, so we may not find it in the West. The used bubblegum example is interesting. That you try to extract something from that used bubblegum, but there's nothing there. There's nothing really there. So Prabhupada is very much emphasizing that unless one becomes convinced without Krishna consciousness, you can never be happy. So in this verse, Prayena Deva Muniyo. So Deva here refers to another Simha Deva. And specifically, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Prayena Deva Muniyo. Muniyo refers to saintly persons. Svavi Mukti Kama. Generally, they are only interested in their own advancement. They're not interested in others. And hence, Monam Charanti Vijjani. And for their own advancement, they'll do many, many things. Of course, Prabhupada said many things on this. He said, if you save others, you'll save yourself. And at other times, he said, you have to save yourself, otherwise how will you save others? So, both sides of the equation are there. But specifically, he's saying, Monam Charanti Vijjani, Na Pararth. They're not Na Pararth Nishtha. They're not concerned about others. Generally, saintly persons. And hence, Charanti Vijjani, they're roaming around the Himalayas, wandering in solitary places, staying there, and perhaps even Mona. They're observing the vow of silence. You find many people that do this in India. I think there is this great yogi, he has never spoken for about 60 years. And when you go and meet him, you know, he writes on a slate. He's got a little slate and a chalk and he will write to you. But he doesn't speak. He doesn't speak. Even famous Bhagavatam reciters, they don't speak as well. They observe one day of silence every week. That's to save their voice, by the way. It's nothing to do with austerities. Because it's doctor's advice, actually. Famous Bhagavatam reciters, and even singers, they're told that you shouldn't speak for a day. Because it just totally needs, the voice, vocal cords just totally need to be rested. I think Radhanath Swami had something similar. They told him you should not speak. He was speaking so much. He said, stop. So it's anyway, here, monam, vow of silence. And we, Prabhupada, of course, says real silence means you speak about Krishna consciousness. Instead, here in the purport, Prabhupada very much is not in favor of all of these things. Instead, he was busy in the towns and cities, as he says in the purport, and he says that I have practically walked through fire to start this movement. Famous words of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would say that it's not that in spiritual life there are no problems. I think we're all a testimony, every one of us here, that it's not that there are no problems. But in the association of devotees, you will find some solutions. Not that in the association of devotees there will be no problems, but there will be solutions. And Prabhupada said in the material world, problems, how they deal with it is they simply cover the problems. And in this verse, we finally get to... I'm not interested in my own liberation or going back home, back to Godhead by myself. Often we may get into that pattern, is it, in our life that I got to just do it myself. I don't really think I can manage everything else. Well, and Prabhupada, he, in a letter that he wrote, he said, we are not going back home, back to Godhead on our own. He said, if we are going back home, we're all going back together. Or we're not going at all. So this verse is where that's coming from. Where Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I don't really want to go by myself. And leave everyone here behind. He calls them fools and rascals, of course. And Prabhupada then, very nicely, Dayananda Maharaj will be happy that this verse is here. Prabhupada says, this movement is all about going door to door. Door to door. And we have that as one of our themes. Apart from going on the streets, you can also go door to door. You can have packs of books which you can give to friends. So we have or you can even go to the weekend warriors on Saturdays. So we've got a whole variety of ways you can go on. But Prabhupada specifically here speaks very plainly door to door. This movement, will grow by door to door. And we haven't done much of that, I think. And, the people that have done lots of this, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they've really done very well. But unlike us, you know, they really don't even know the philosophy. I notice on my road, Mill Way, they are there every Saturday without fail, Jehovah's Witnesses. And if you notice, because I think they have to do 4 hours every Saturday, they're usually chatting to each other for quite a lot of the time. And then every now and then they'll knock on the door. Because they really, I think I was speaking to, I think the Shinga Theatre about that. Yeah, you know, they really, they're not convinced they can convince anyone else by knocking on the doors. So they just chat to each other. But you know, we have such firm conviction that we can knock on every door. I think when we used to go, we would rush through every door. How many more books can we sell? So we would not try and finish the streets as quickly as possible. Of course, this door-to-door business is there given by Lord Chaitanya when he instructed Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go door-to-door. Or hut-to-hut, or whatever it was. They were knocking on all the huts and speaking to everyone. And of course, in doing so, you'll meet... great opposition as well, as they did with Jagai and Madai. And if you think about it, Jagai and Madai were the culmination of whom? The Puranas speak of the fact that Jagai and Madai were the culmination of all the six demons. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dandavakra. They all condensed into these two personalities. At least with the others, they were all individuals. Here you had all six combined together. Kaam, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, lust, greed, anger, envy. All of them combined in these two personalities. But by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they became delivered. And Prabhupada writes wonderfully in that purport, isn't it? He said that that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya was glorified because Lord Nityananda delivered one Jagai and Madai. But he said that, but we, didn't want to say himself, he says, we have delivered millions of Jagais and Madais to glorify Lord Chaitanya. So amazing that millions, by Prabhupada's grace, so many became delivered as such. And what is it that this book distribution does? Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes interestingly. He says, generally, we are practicing Krishna consciousness and we are looking for Krishna prema. But he says that if we worship sincerely Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda by distributing this Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema will come looking for us. Interesting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that. That generally everything we're doing, prema pumartha mahan, we're looking for this love of God and last days of Kartik and everything else, we're hoping we'll get something. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying the opposite. He said if you sincerely serve Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and give this Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema will come looking for you. Quite amazing, one day you'll be opening the door and Krishna prema will be looking for you. Instead of the Jehovah's Witnesses, finally, someone else will knock on the door. And Prabhupada, finally, he speaks about the example of the rich man. He says, if a rich man has a son and he's lost, what would you do? So in the last part of the purport, he speaks about philanthropy, so many other things. You can do so many things, but the best thing you can do is you can give the rich man's son a house, some food, some clothes, but the best thing you can do is take him to his father. So this month our meditation is that really, that how can we go out and distribute this Krishna consciousness, and really distributing Krishna consciousness involves everyone, whether you're the pujari, you know, our worship and our decoration of the deities, if someone comes here and becomes very enthused, that's sankirtan. Whether we cook wonderful prasadam and people will come here and they'll taste it, or the devotees will be nourished and excited by the, that's sankirtan. Whether we put on dramas, whatever we do, it's all the sankirtan mission. It's all aiding it, the beautiful gardens, whether we're looking after the cows, it's all. But this month there's a little bit of an extra edge that we can just go out on the Saturday weekend warrior. We can go out one day knocking on doors if we have the time. So that's a little meditation for everyone. And we want to give out 40,000 pieces of literature this year. We did 35. So this year we want to do 40. So increase by that 5,000 everyone. So we can try and perhaps do that in this month, if possible, of course. Every individual can try and do that. When I was looking at the BBT webpage, there are some nice stories. And there was one story that when you're on the street often, the greatest distraction are mobile phones. And you're just about to tell someone, you know, this is a wonderful book and the phone will ring, isn't it? And it's a great saver for the other person. You think, saved, okay. You know? And there was a devotee who wrote in and he said, I was trying to preach to this man. I thought, finally he'll take something. I hadn't distributed any books and the phone rang. And the gentleman started talking to someone else. So immediately he thought, He started praying to Lord Chaitanya, what shall I do? And he became inspired. And he asked the man, who's that on the phone? He said, that's my friend. And he said, can I speak to him? He said, of course you can. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Avatar. He said, Avatar wants to speak to you. So he took the phone from him. And he said, I'm just speaking to your phone and I'm your friend here. And I'm just about to tell him about how he can become enlightened, take part in yoga meditation and understand about the real goal of life. And I have these fantastic books with me. So the man heard him out and said, can I speak to my friend again? So he gave him the phone and they carried on speaking for another 15 minutes. So he waited, and finally when he got off the phone, he said, my friend said, can you give us two books, one for him and one for him, for me? So it's a difficult tactic. You might miss it or hit it, I don't know, but it worked for that gentleman. So. But it worked for him, and he got two books out instead of one. And a devotee in Vienna writes from 2008, when he was in Vienna, and he was visiting the banks area of Vienna, and he didn't know what to do. He was knocking on the doors, and finally went to Post Bank, which is the biggest bank, German bank in Vienna. And he arrived there, and he wanted to meet the boss. So the boss, of course, you can never meet the boss. So finally the secretary said, the CEO of our bank is on the other side, and that branch in the restaurant. So he went there, and finally he met the man, and of course the boss didn't come. And finally when he did come, he didn't know what he was going to say. So he said to him, he said, I have 16 volumes of books that are in Sanskrit and they've been translated into the German language. So he thought, leave it there. And he thought, now I know it's going to be get off the premises. Because this is the big man of the whole chain of banks. He's in charge of it. He said, Sanskrit? He said, let me sit down and have a look at these things. So he started speaking to him. And he spoke for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours went. And all the secretaries would come in and out and say, your appointment, your next. And he said, no, tell him I'm not in. And then it was lunchtime. So he told the gentleman, he said, why don't you take lunch with me and speak to me more about what's going on in these books? And he said, well, I'm a vegetarian. He said, I know that. You can take some mint tea with me. So finally, when they finished, he said to him, and he had taken the complete set of Bhagavatams in German with him. So the CEO said, well, how much will it cost? He said, well, normally they're 400 US dollars or whatever, Deutschmarks, whatever, and he wrote out 1,000 as a check for him. And he kept in touch with him. And something we should all do. Whoever we meet, whoever's good, make sure you get the names. Give them to our team here. Let's put them on the database. It's no use speaking to people and saying goodbye. If they're good, get the name and address. We should make sure we keep in touch with them. And this devotee kept in touch with this bank manager for years and years until he retired. And he was very useful in helping them get land in Germany. And so on and so forth. And that famous story is there from Florida, when the devotees were distributing in Florida, and they had a camper van, and they were driving around to find a parking slot, but they couldn't find one, so they were going round and round and round, and finally when they found one, they parked it, and they had so many books in their camper. And they thought this is the night, so they all got into their gumshas and they started frying the samosas. And as they were frying the samosas and just about to bite into them, there were lights all over the camper. And they were surrounded by police. And the megaphone said, come out with your hands up. Immediately, so they were all frightened. Braj Bihari was actually... Braj Bihari, everyone knows Braj Bihari. He was on that camper. So he told me that exact story, he said. He said, we were in our gumshas. Some weren't in our gumshas, but we all had to walk out. And the police, we all had to put our hands up because it was a raid. There was a drugs raid in Florida and they thought they were going around selling drugs. So they emptied out the whole camper and, you know, there were hundreds of books that they had, and they took them all out. and the chief of police who was there had to deal with the whole case. So they said that we couldn't find any drugs, but there are hundreds of these books. So of course, when the chief of police met all of them, and he said to all of them, he took them to another part of the park, and he said to all of them, Hari Bol. He had stayed in the temple in Florida, and he had met Prabhupada, and then he had left. We couldn't hack it out in due course. But he said that I still appreciate my time and what Prabhupada had given, and now he's the chief of police for Florida. So he said, what can I do for you, gentlemen? He said, we have all of these books. Now, because it was one of the biggest drugs raids, there was about 200 police there. So the chief of police said that we haven't found any drugs, but today my instruction to all of you is that every one of you has to take one of these books with you. So they distributed the entire stock of books to the police force, who had to take it because the chief of police said, you got to take the books, otherwise you can't go. So like this, there are hundreds and hundreds of stories, and you'll all have your own. But really, it's the principle that somehow Krishna consciousness and preaching means obstacles and difficulties. They'll arise. And sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our lives, actually. Each hurdle is sent by Krishna to make us stronger, just like the athlete. There's hurdles and they're training, but they're sent actually to make you stronger. And you know, if Krishna allowed us to go through life without any obstacles, it would cripple us. And we'd never be able to fly like the butterfly. Sachinandan Swami, and I'll end on that note, gives the example of that. That if Krishna allowed us to go through life, and this month is like that, the marathon month, without any obstacles, and when we go out there'll be so many obstacles, it would cripple us, Sachinandan Swami said, and it would never allow us to fly just like the butterfly. There was a lady who saw a cocoon, and she saw the caterpillar struggling inside the moth to get out. So she thought she'd help, and she cut the cocoon with scissors. And the next day, a deformed moth came out, and it couldn't fly. Why? Because the butterfly, that moth, is meant to struggle tremendously inside the cocoon. And when it struggles, the blood flow from within the body and different secretions, they fly into the wings, and they allow the wings to expand, and only when they expand does it then become a butterfly, and only then can it fly. If we helped it along and not struggle, it would never fly. The moth would never become a butterfly. So often when we have struggles, we should see that the moth will become a butterfly in due course. So this month, it's a good meditation. When nobody buys anything, it's a bad day. The struggles are meant to make us fly at the end, back home, back to God, to become butterflies. Go, Premanande! We've gone over time. Hare Krishna.